At 8:04, Friday, March 26th. In the room, we have Representatives Schrage, Snyder, Nelson, myself. Representative Kaufman was just in the room, and I'm sure we'll return shortly. Today, we have confirmations for governor's appointees. Any questions before we begin? Not seeing any. First, we're going to go to the Board of Direct Entry Midwives. Ms. Pugh, are you on the line? And if so, please proceed with your testimony.
I am here.
Okay, please proceed with your testimony, and please aim for 2 minutes per person.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Rachel Pugh, and I have been appointed to the Certified Direct Entry Midwifery Board. I am a wife, mother, grandmother, and midwife. I have been a professional in birth work since 2009. My career includes being a certified childbirth educator, Relation League leader at Relation League International, certified birth doula and doula trainer, and currently a state-licensed direct entry midwife and nationally certified professional midwife. Since 2015, I've worked in birth centers in Anchorage, Sumatra Valley, and Soldotna, and currently in my own home birth midwifery practice. I'm also a traveling midwife serving women in rural Alaskan communities that have no midwives. My reason for wanting to serve on the State Midwifery Board is simple. Birth is a human rights issue. The women of Alaska should have the same rights, options, and choices as women in the lower 48. For too long, Alaska women have had limited birth options, and I would like to help change that. It is our job as state board members and state government to provide all safe birth options available to them. The first recommendation by the 2020 legislative audit, as well as the 2016 audit to this board, with statutory changes to benefit the public. That is exactly what I've been working on since I was appointed to this board. Our current statutes and regulations are outdated and severely limiting women's out-of-hospital birth choices and the ability for midwives to practice according to national standards and skills. I have been working with and have a letter of support regarding the proposed changes from the Executive Director and Credentialing Specialist at the North American Registry of Midwives, NARM, our National Midwife Certifying Organization. The proposed changes would update and bring our current statutes and regulations into alignment with national standards and skills. I thank you for your consideration and support of my appointment to the Board of Direct Entry Midwives. I look forward to helping reduce board costs and increasing public safety as one of the safest states for midwives and moms alike to practice and birth. Thank you.
Thank you. Do members have questions for Ms. Pugh? Ms. Pugh, what you mentioned reducing regulations for women delivering babies, and you said you had a proposal that you had written. Was I hearing that correctly?
It's not reducing regulations. It's just bringing them up to national standards.
Ah, got it. Is that something that you've shared with the committee, or could you share it?
I have submitted it to our licensing specialist.
Ah, got it.
It hasn't been the law yet, but I can make sure that gets you if you want to see it.
Okay, sure. And thanks for your testimony. Next up is Bethel Belisle. Thanks for returning before the committee, Ms. Belisle.
Good morning. My name is Bethel Belisle. I am a certified direct entry midwife through the apprenticeship model, and I obtained my original Alaska license back in 1999. I am also a certified professional midwife, a national designation. I am a preceptor for Alaska apprentices as well as a national preceptor. I currently live and work in Anchorage, and I own a birth center called Haven Midwifery and Birth Center, where I offer home birth and birth center options to low-risk women. I serve on several perinatal quality control committees, and I'm active in the Midwives Association of Alaska, where I have served in the past as secretary and also the chair of the peer review committee. I'm currently serving as the chair of the Board of Certified Direct Entry Midwives. I volunteered to be a board member last year before COVID struck, and my desire was to see Alaska women continue to have safe options for childbearing. I also desire to see more women become midwives. Alaska has always been the leader in the United States for the number of women choosing community birth options for our safety and for our statutes and regulations, and COVID has only increased the desire for women to birth out of the hospital. My desire as a board member is to continue to see that our board safeguard a woman's right to choose where and with whom she gives birth, to continue to make the pathway to midwifery accessible to anyone who desires to become a midwife, and to promote excellence in all areas of midwifery and in our board of certified direct entry midwives. Thank you for your consideration.
Thanks, Ms. Belisle. Do members have questions for Ms. Belisle? And all committee members are present. Next up, Jessica Johnston. Ms. Johnston, please proceed with your testimony.
Hi, my name is Jessica Johnston. I'm calling in to support the board appointment of Rachel Pugh. And I'd like to, I did not know that she had been working with NARM already on the project regulations, but my support now is
Ms. Johnston, could you pause for one second? Sorry, we're going to take a brief Eddie's. And then I'm going to open public testimony for all of the midwife board appointees. So I'm sorry, if you could just pause your testimony for 1 second. We'll go to Ms. George, St. George, and then we'll return to Jessica Johnson for public testimony. Hannah St. George, please proceed with your testimony.
Good morning. My name is Hannah St. George, and I'm from Fairbanks, Alaska. I'm a mother to 10 children and have attended over 30 births as a support figure. And I'm currently working on my doula certification. I also provide postpartum support to new mothers. From a young age, I've been interested in all things medical. I enjoy gleaning information from obstetricians and midwives that I'm acquainted with. I'm currently serving on the board of direct entry midwives, and I look forward to learning more about the laws and regulations for midwives and continuing to work with a great team that ensures safe births for mothers and babies. I really appreciate your consideration. I look forward to continuing to serve on the board.
Okay, thank you. Do members have questions for Ms. St. George? Seeing none, I'm now going to open public testimony on these appointees to the Board of Certified Direct Entry Midwives. The only testifier I see is Jessica Johnston. Ms. Johnston, sorry I interrupted your testimony earlier, and please proceed with your testimony.
Thank you. My name is Jessica Johnston. I'm a certified direct entry midwife. I am a home birth practicing midwife in Anchorage, Alaska, and I'm calling in today to support the appointment of Rachel Pugh to our board, and also Bethel Belisle, because they're both fantastic midwives that will represent the interests of both midwives and clients alike. And by bringing our statute, which it sounds like Rachel's already working on with NARM, with both Bethel and Rachel being able to address our statutes and bring them up to national standard and protect provider access pathways as well, we will be able to grow midwifery's impact and therefore reduce public health costs and board costs and increase great outcomes in the state of Alaska. So I'm very happy to see both of them appointed to the board, and I support the appointment of both of them.
Thanks, Ms. Johnson. Not seeing any additional individuals online to testify, I'm going to close public testimony on the Board of Certified Direct Entry Midwives. Do members of the committee have further questions or comments on the Board of Certified Direct Entry Midwives at this time before we go to other board appointees? I have a question for, I guess, any of the potential appointees. Do Certified Direct Entry Midwives typically advise new parents on vaccines and whether children should be vaccinated? And feel free to jump in, Ms. Pugh, Belisle, or St. George to help answer that question.
This is Bethel Belisle, and I think to answer the question is giving vaccines is out of the scope of direct entry midwives, and so unless they're talking to us really anecdotally, we refer them to their pediatric provider of choice.
Okay, thank you. Do other members have questions for these appointees? Seeing none, thanks everyone for calling in to introduce yourselves to the committee. At this time, we're going to move on to the Board of Barbers and Hairdressers. And I see online Michelle McMullen, Holly Andrews, Connie Doherty, and Kitsana Sipangafay. And I'm going to start, so we'll go in that order. Ms. McMullen, are you online? And if so, please proceed with your testimony.
Yes, good morning. My name is Michelle McMullen. I am currently serving as the chair of the board. I have been in the nail industry for 25 years. I'm also a nail technician and an esthetician. And I've really started working and helping with the board move forward so that we can help new coming people and people traveling in-state get their licenses and get to work. It's been a very hard economic downfall this year for everybody, especially, you know. So we're currently moving that forward and bringing up the idea of continuing education and making sure Alaska is back in the seat and doing what we need to do. Sorry, it's really early in the morning. I just got my COVID shot yesterday.
Congratulations on getting vaccinated. Thanks for calling in to testify to the committee. Next up is Holly Andrews. Does Representative McCarty have a question? Okay. Ms. McMullen, Representative McCarty has a question for you.
Ms. McMullen, through the chair, over this past year that I'm hearing that the hairdressers, barbers have been greatly hit because people just can't come in. It's been very difficult for them to make a living. And what has been happening on the board's end to help with different things or awareness of that could do things differently?
On the board's end, we were really, it really led down to the munis and the state when it came to enforcement, unfortunately. When we first came out of lockdown, we sat with them and, you know, gave our suggestions for PPE in our industry. And it was more of the fact that what's hurting a lot of people is the mask mandate for facials. That's the major one I've heard. And really, honestly, the only thing I can tell people is look out for yourself and look out for your clients. You know, you have a high-risk client. I've lost several clients myself because they're still high-risk. Even with vaccinations, they're still waiting. Some of my clients can't get vaccinations. So I haven't seen them since well before lockdown. And we didn't take a hands-off approach, but we really approached it with the fact that follow what your muni or your, you know, state's saying and make sure you take care of yourself. There's not much on the board's end besides, you know, recommending that you follow policy.
Thank you.
Okay, seeing no other questions, next. Thank you, Ms. McMullen. Next up is Holly Andrews.
Hi, my name is Holly Andrews. I'm a licensed esthetician in Wausau, Alaska, also a certified lash artist. I have been working within the industry for about 5 years now. I want to serve and help on the board as far as education goes and regulations. That is like my biggest passion. Luckily enough, during the pandemic, I live out in Wausau, so things were a little different for us. Our industry in the last 6 months, even a year, is booming out here. There are a lot of new people going through school and the education system. So I want to serve on the board to make sure that the education and the regulations are known, people are aware of them, and we continue to grow as this industry continues to grow, and just make it as safe as it can be in Alaska. Luckily out here, we haven't had a whole lot of COVID tracing back to any of the salons because of the practices the board in places with sanitation. So I just want to continue to make sure that grows and we stay safe and this industry stays alive. So thank you for your consideration.
Thanks, Ms. Andrews. Seeing no questions from committee members, we're going to move on to Connie Doherty. Ms. Doherty, please proceed with your testimony.
Good morning, and thank you for your time. My name is Connie Doherty, and I am a lifelong Alaska resident. I've been a hairdresser in Anchorage since 1988, and I currently own a salon that I opened up right in the middle of a pandemic. We were locked down last year, and I thought this is a great time to remodel and start fresh. So that's what I did. During the course of my career, I've worn many different hats, but I am very proud to be a hairdresser, and I want to be on the board because I would like to continue to elevate our profession to the status of a profession. We are essential, as a lot of people have talked about. I've read in the newspaper and seen many articles, just that human contact is necessary, and what we do is very, very important for people. And I just want to give back to my community. I find that this is an opportunity for me to serve in a different capacity. I've been an educator and I've been a hairdresser, and now I want to serve in a different capacity. Thank you for your consideration.
Thanks, Ms. Doherty. Do members of the committee have questions? Seeing none, next up is Kitsana Sapakinfe. Sorry if that pronunciation is imperfect.
Hi, my name is Kitsana Sapakinfe. I've been appointed to the board of barber and hairdresser on the piercing, tattoo, and permanent cosmetic coloring seat. I am the owner of Taylor Beauty in Anchorage, where I offer eyelash extensions and makeup, permanent makeup. I've been, I'm licensed as a hairdresser and been licensed since 2004, and I recently entered the permanent makeup industry in 2016. I'm interested in becoming a board member because I know that the permanent makeup industry is new and upcoming here in the state of Alaska, and I would like to be involved in the future rules and regulations. Just want to make sure that we align ourselves with other states, because I see that our requirements for apprenticeship in the permanent makeup industry is so low, because we're at 250 hours, and it's something that I would like to visit. Other than that, thank you for your consideration, and I'm excited to serve.
Thank you for your testimony. Seeing no questions from committee members, next up is Tina Taylor. Ms. Taylor, please proceed with your testimony.
Hi, I'm Tina Taylor. I live here in Soldotna. I was raised on the peninsula, and I've raised my family here. I am a salon owner. I also am a licensed cosmetology hairstylist and manicurist. I've served my community here since 1988. I'm interested in being on the board to keep our regulations and requirements for this profession that I have chosen to do, and bring it back up to where it needs to be. I think it's very important that you have to prove and show your application, procedures, sanitation as part of graduating with a license. And I think my 33 years of experience as not only a hairstylist, but I also have been a Rotarian, and I volunteered and I give back to my community, local schools, donations. And I find this profession is essential to my community for their well-being. And my experience in this area and my service to my faithful salon clients would be beneficiary to our state. And I just want to say a thank you to all of you who serve our great state of Alaska. And I think we need to be a leader and a forerunner when it comes to these type of professions. And let's keep it professional. And I thank you all for your time and consideration today.
Thanks, Ms. Taylor. I think Representative Shrocky has a question. Following that, if other members have questions for any of the appointees, we can do that before moving to public testimony.
Yeah, thank you. And through the chair, I noticed, Tina, on your resume, your resume, that you mentioned that you have concerns with past decisions made concerning regulations and testing, and I was just wondering if you could speak a little bit to that, or do we need to strengthen the regulations around testing? Do we need to loosen them? What was your concern?
Yes, Senator, through the chair, my concern is that, we were given notice that you no longer have to perform a practical to receive your license. You only have to pass a written test, and that really threw a lot of us professionals for a loop, because that is like 90% of what you do. I mean, you have to have head knowledge, but you definitely have to show that you can perform the task, and I'd be a little concerned to go to a place where no one had to prove that they could actually cut the hair or bleach the hair or highlight, you know. So that to me is a concern that was taken away. And I definitely want to help. Let's get back on track and keep this where people have to show requirements. I went through CNA course. I can't imagine not having to prove what I knew how to, you know, shown to do with a practical exam. It just doesn't make sense to not have a practical exam.
Thank you.
Thank you. Do other members have questions for any of the appointees? Seeing none, I'm going to open public testimony on the Board of Barbers and Hairdressers. Seeing no one online, I'm going to close public testimony. Next up, we have the Board of... Thank you, everyone, for weighing in. Next up, we have the Board of Certified Real Estate Appraisers. Let's see. I see... Online, I see William Leon McKean and Valerie Kudrin. Also on our list, we have May Hayes. So, Ms. Hayes, if you're listening, please go ahead and call in. But we'll start with William Leon McKean. Mr. McKean, please proceed with your testimony.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Leon McKean, branch manager and producing loan officer with Academy Mortgage. I'm speaking today regarding my confirmation to the Board of Certified Real Estate Appraisers. Let me introduce myself. I'm a licensed mortgage lender and have been in the industry more than 13 years. I began my mortgage career with Wells Fargo in March of 2008 and joined Academy Mortgage, a national private mortgage lender, in 2011. I have grown my Alaskan organization to two local branches where we originate residential purchase and refinance loans. We have 12 employees in two office locations. I hold a bachelor's of science degree with the University of Oregon and a master's in business administration from Alaska Pacific University. A couple of other facts about myself. My family and I have lived in Alaska for over 50 years. I have two siblings that are also licensed loan officers and work with me at Academy Mortgage. In the early 1990s, I was one of the first certified residential home inspectors in the state of Alaska. I'm an Eagle Scout. I served a volunteer position for 9 years on the Armed Services YMCA Board of Directors. I volunteered at Special Olympics for more than 9 years and had the honor of representing Alaska as our coach of the 2018 USA Games Unified Basketball Team, in which we actually took gold. I point these details out because my education, my background, and my professional experience afford me a unique perspective about the mortgage industry. While many of leaders in our industry have 20 to 30 years of industry-specific experience, which is certainly impressive, my background is more rounded. Combined with my 13 years of mortgage industry experience, I have a combined 30 years of experience managing multiple travel and tourism businesses, as well as 20-plus years as a co-owner of a local skincare facility. I believe this is a strength I will bring to the board. Why do I want to serve? I'm not approaching this appointment with an agenda, but I believe the next 10 years will bring substantial change through technology, government oversight, and agency and investor requirements for the appraisal process. I want to be a part of that process development. Key areas I am aware of right now, more appraisers are needed. There is a recognizable shortage of appraisers both locally and nationally. With this shortage, consumers face delays in delivery and much higher costs. The current population of appraisers is aging, and I believe we are not seeing sufficient new appraisers to replace retiring or departing appraisers. I believe we need a system that supports and encourages the recruiting, training, licensing, and oversight of new and existing appraisers. This concludes my testimony, and I'm open for any comments.
Mr. McKean, Representative Nelson has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and to the Chair. Mr. McKean, you clearly have a very in-depth background history with real estate, and so, you know, I don't see any problem with having you on the Board of Certified Real Estate Appraisers. I just want to make note, and thank you for helping out with Armed Services YMCA. They do a great job for soldiers and spouses all across the state. And I also want to know, I'm glad you also have Eagle Scout on one of your credentials. That's big for me as a fellow Eagle Scout. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Fully agree with those sentiments. Other questions? Seeing none, next up is Valerie Kudrin. Miss, please proceed with your testimony.
Good morning. My name is Valerie Kudrin. Thank you for your time today. I've lived in Alaska since the year 2000 and began appraising in Alaska in 2007. I've been working as a certified residential appraiser since about 2010. I'm a practicing affiliate of the Appraisal Institute. I regularly complete hundreds of residential appraisal assignments in the Mansu Borough. I want to serve on the board to give back to the profession in any way I can. I bring years of experience that I hope to apply in promoting appraiser independence when completing assignments, as well as increasing public confidence in the quality of appraisers being certified. I bring to the board significant experience from the residential appraiser viewpoint. I have many relationships throughout the field that help keep a finger on the pulse of the market and the appraiser profession in general. I look forward to applying this to benefit the public and the appraiser community in Alaska. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, and sorry for mispronouncing your name the first time. Do members have questions for Mr. Kudrin? Not seeing any. I'm going to open public testimony on these appointees. Not seeing anyone here to testify, I'm going to close public testimony on the Board of Certified Real Estate Appraisers. May Hayes didn't call in, so I'll just note that, and we'll see if we can invite her back for a subsequent opportunity. At this time, we will move on to the Alcohol Beverage Control Board appointees. I see listed here Dana Wakukiewicz, Diane Thompson, and John Cox. Ms. Wakukiewicz, could you proceed with your testimony?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and members of the committee for this opportunity to speak to you regarding my appointment to the Alcohol Beverage Control Board. For the record, my name is Dana Wakukiewicz. I'm from Anchorage, Alaska. These are certainly unprecedented times, and I appreciate the requirements on your schedule. As you know, I've been nominated as the industry representative to the board, and I have been serving in that position for nearly 1 year as I was appointed in 2020. I began my involvement in the alcohol industry nearly 10 years ago when my business partner and I began King Street Brewing Company in Anchorage. Prior to King Street, I had no involvement in the alcohol industry other than as a consumer. For the first 8 years of our business, we learned the trade as we self-distributed our beer across the greater Anchorage area, delivering our products to every bar, restaurant, and package store that was kind enough to give us a try. This provided me the chance to meet numerous people, observe a large number of operations, and understand how various licensees provide service to the public. King Street Brewing Company started as a small brewing operation pieced together from personal savings. With a lot of hard work and tremendous local support from our customers, King Street grew and opened a new $6.5 million facility in South Anchorage, backed by a U.S. Small Business Administration loan in 2018. We designed our facility to be our home for the next 40 years. We are, and I am, as a born and raised Alaskan, personally committed to Alaska. The facility has allowed us to double our production capacity, serve the entirety of the state of Alaska through our local distributor partner, while increasing work opportunities for current and new employees. Due to our success, we are now able to give back to our local communities. We support local nonprofits and charitable groups through creative sponsorship of events and festivals, as well as donating merchandise and space at the brewery for their fundraising activities. We are proud to be part of the industry that benefits Alaska, whether it be through charitable activities or through shared development of the hospitality and tourism industry that is fueled by this growth. In 2019, we were granted a second alcohol license, a winery license, which we pursued to produce cider, a gluten-free alternative to beer. As a multiple license holder, I understand the complexities of dealing with federal, state, and municipal regulations, which at times can be very daunting to wade through. I have taken a keen understanding of the investment in time, money, and resources it takes to develop a business. As a board member, I have had the pleasure to work with AMCO to support those, regardless of license type, looking to develop responsible businesses that respect the process and operate within the intent of the laws set forth by the state of Alaska, so that they may have the same opportunity to benefit and grow within the state of Alaska as we did. By the same token, I have and will work hard with the board and the Alcohol Marijuana Control Office to ensure non-compliant operators correct deficiencies or are suspended, as bad operators not only can be a risk to the public health and safety of Alaska, but tarnish the reputation of the industry as a whole. As a father of two young children, I will work hard to ensure that our industry operates in a safe and healthy manner for all Alaskans. I'm honored to be asked and look forward to providing service to our state in this capacity. I humbly ask that this committee and the combined House and Senate expeditiously confirm all the appointees to the board. As of March 1st, there was only one confirmed member on board member on the Alcohol Beverage Control Board, and there are over 450 license applications waiting for approval by the board. I'm concerned delays of confirmation will jeopardize the livelihoods of many hardworking Alaskans. Thank you for your time and consideration for this board decision, and look forward to answering any questions you may have. Thank you.
Thank you, and I would note for Representative Nelson, we have another Eagle Scout who's put himself forward. Thank you, Mr. Lukiewicz, for your service to the community. Seeing no additional questions. Okay, Representative McCarty.
Hi, through the chair. I won't even try it. Dina?
Lukiewicz, yes.
Okay, thank you. As an owner of a business and being on the board, what do you plan to do to differentiate yourself and so that there's not a dual conflict, being an owner, promoting your own business, but being on the board, promoting the industry?
A good question. Whenever there is a direct conflict, so for example, if my license came up for a renewal, I procedurally will have to abstain from any actions taken at the board level, so I would abstain from voting for my own renewal on a license in which I had a financial interest in. However, as a board industry member representative to the board, it is important, and it was certainly the intent of the legislature and with in drafting the law to have industry input to the board when issues come up that are important to the industry. So to give input and to highlight the impact to licensees is a critical piece to the ensuring that the discussion is fair and balanced at the board level, particularly when it comes to situations in which regulations could impact licensees. So I find that the process, I've had the pleasure of being able to serve for the last year, is an incredibly democratic process, very enlightening to myself to see that in action, where everybody gets some input, and then collectively together, you've got members of the public, members of public safety, as well as industry, coming together to form consensus on what would be good and healthy for the industry as a whole.
Follow-up. Thank you very much for your thoughtful response. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Dana, for calling in. Next up, we have John Cox. Mr. Cox, do you want to proceed with your testimony?
Am I right? Am I there?
Yes, sir. Please proceed.
Good morning, Chairman and members of the committee. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to consider myself for an appointment to the ABC board. My name is John Cox. I'm a retired 30-year Navy veteran. I was approached by Amy Dombrowski to serve on the ABC board, or to volunteer to serve. I'm also a business owner of Puppy Loves Biscuits. I have developed several businesses over this few years. Once those businesses develop a large client base, I turn around and sell those businesses. I have served as the president of the Chamber of Commerce and also as various board members to the chamber. I've served as the commanding officer for the VFW and as well as a trustee for the command, which I recently stepped down to prevent any conflict of interest if my appointment to this board, because, of course, the VFWs do deal with the sale of alcohol. I served as chairman for the Friends of the Homer, Friends of the NRA. I have a couple college degrees. What I've learned in college is that there are four businesses that do survive during economic hardship. That's alcohol, tobacco, firearms, and cosmetics. That's why I established one of the businesses as a tobacco. I made enough money to purchase the building that I ran out of, and then I closed the business because that was part of the process. I didn't want to stay in it. I looked at opening up a package store and was denied based on current regulations in Title IV. And these are some of the issues as to why I wanted to get involved with the alcohol board. As it stands right now, any member of the committee who wished to purchase a license to open a package store would not be able to. You'd be required to purchase it from a private sector, and it would run anywhere from $85,000 to $230,000, depending on the location, thus creating a monopoly within the free market. It is my belief that a license issued by the state belongs to the state. If a person that has a license issued to them no longer wishes to participate in that legal commerce, should be required to return it back to the state, and it is not their personal property to turn around and sell it. So that is basically, there are a few other common sense issues with the regulations that I believe need to be addressed, and hopefully can help give some guidance and leadership in those areas.
Representative Spondell has a question.
All right, Mr. Cox, thanks for your interest in serving on this board. So you said you were denied an application for a package store. Can you tell us why you were denied the application?
Basically, the way the laws are written right now, that they have too many already issued in any given area. So basically what happens now is if the one package store in the area that I live in decides they no longer wish to participate in the commerce, they can put their license up for sale. And that license, when you purchase it through the state, runs, I believe, $2,400. But yet they can turn around and sell it for, like I said, $85,000 to $230,000, thus creating a monopoly where your big package stores are basically the only ones that can afford these liquor licenses, thus creating the monopoly, violating the antitrust laws here in the United States.
Follow? So you think that alcohol licenses in the state of Alaska should be a use it or lose it proposition?
Yes.
All right, thanks.
Mr. Cox, just along these lines, do you think that there should be basically unlimited permits to open package stores?
No, it should be based on the communities, just like the marijuana. But I mean, you should not be able to just say we have one in the area, and that person can control the price in that specific area. If you promote commerce, it lowers the price, it promotes business, and it allows people to develop a better product at a cheaper price.
Representative McCarty.
Yeah, through the chair, it's good discussion here. The question I have is there any other industry with licenses that is doing this type of thing where they're selling their license basically to another potential enterprise?
I believe right now the taxi industry was fighting that issue a while back. But other than that, I could not tell you.
Representative Spondell has a question.
Yeah, I want to follow up on your comment that they should be sort of a use it or lose it proposition. I think, you know, one of the, you referenced the taxi issue, and there was concern amongst a lot of the taxi owners because they had bought these taxi medallions, and they were very expensive for them individually to have bought those, and they didn't want to lose essentially their investment in that. And what would you say to current license owners who might have spent a couple $100,000 purchasing one of those licenses, when they would have to give it up if there were, you know, a legal change or a regulatory change to require them to be use it or lose it? How would you recommend making those current license holders whole?
Well, what they have to do is, and this is an issue that was addressed to me not too long ago, if a person did not want to lose that license, i.e. because they no longer wanted to participate in it, and yet they wanted to pass it down into their family members or will it to somebody else, then they should have developed some kind of LLC or corporation so that specific issue was specifically addressed in the development or the issuing of that license.
Follow?
Yes.
So I guess that doesn't actually really answer the question. That's sort of a description of how you transfer the asset to other people, which I think is different than, you know, if somebody has spent a couple hundred thousand dollars on a license and you're saying that it should be a use it or lose it proposition. What if you own the license currently and for some reason you're not able to take advantage of it? The market doesn't, you know, support utilization of the license right now. There's some other reason you can't use your license. Under your proposition, essentially those folks would have to forfeit that license back to the state of Alaska. You can see then that a lot of license holders would be very concerned about losing their license they'd spent a couple hundred thousand dollars on. How would you propose making those people financially whole or managing that transition? I don't necessarily disagree with you. I don't have an opinion on this personally, but you know, I think that there's sort of a transition issue that needs to be addressed. We have to figure out how to make those people whole. How would you propose to do that?
Well, that would be something I have to discuss with other board members, because it is a sticky slope that we're talking about. I mean, because of the actions that have developed over the years, making a what I believe a wrong, we have to come up with some kind of idea on how to address this specific issue to compensate those individuals for a mistake that the state had made.
I have an additional question, Mr. Cox. So you said you wanted to get a permit for a package store. What other experience in this industry do you have? I know you mentioned you've worked on many small businesses in your community.
Oh, well, as the commander of the VFW, you're involved in the oversight and retail sales of the liquor industry within the VFW. So we dealt with the daily sales, the licensing, the whole gamut involved with the retail of alcohol.
Okay. Do other members? Representative Kaufman has a question.
Thank you. Through the chair, Mr. Cox, I appreciate what you've been saying. Essentially, things such as this licensing and others, they create market distortions that then once we're in, how do we unwind it? It is very complicated, but I appreciate your thoughts on it, and I just wanted to speak up on that. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, these are issues that have to be addressed. I mean, it's we just can't turn the cheek and pretend like it doesn't exist. It's something that has to be addressed.
Representative Shragi has a question, I think.
Yeah, thank you, and through the chair, and sorry that you're getting picked on, but these seems like fairly large changes that you potentially have in mind or that are advocating for. I guess Representative Sponholz talked a little bit about the process of putting licenses back into the hands of the state, but I'm a little bit confused as to the process for getting those back out into the public for folks that want to open up a packaged liquor store or otherwise. I guess if we still have a controlled number of licenses, what does the process look like for folks that then want to acquire one of those licenses? It seems to me that even if the state does regain control of those, that the demand is going to far outweigh the supply, and do we not just end up in the same situation where licenses are exceedingly expensive, or do you have some sort of process in mind as to how the state would determine who gets that license that there's a limited number of?
My suggestion would be to open up a lottery-type situation to give everybody that wants to participate in this type of commerce a fair and equal chance at obtaining a license.
Representative Shragi, do you have more questions?
No, that'll do for now.
Okay, moving on to Representative Kaufman.
Thank you. Yeah, and through the chair, I assume that would be suitably qualified, of course, just as a caveat with respect to that who would be entered into that lottery. But I have another question. That your employment history, cheaper than a broken hip. I just, before we're done, I have to know what that business was.
That was a sand and snow removal service.
Beautiful. Thank you.
I had to use verbiage to get people's attention, and it worked pretty well.
As Representative Kaufman demonstrated, thank you, Mr. Cox, for visiting with us today. We're going to go on to Diane Thompson.
Have a wonderful day. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Ms. Thompson, do you want to provide your testimony to the committee?
Hi, yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Diane Thompson. I'm currently an owner, and I manage Firetap Ale House in South Anchorage. We developed in 2009, and we operate under a beverage dispensary license with a restaurant eating place designation as well as a package store license. I've had 35 years of experience working with Title IV applications and transfers and believe I can offer practical insight from the perspective of an owner-operator in the restaurant and alcohol industry. I was a founder, majority shareholder, and general manager of Humpy's Great Alaskan Ale House in Anchorage from its start in 1994 until we sold in 2000. I was responsible for Title IV applications and transfers for that operation, as well as Firetap's license and transfer, and have assisted with many other applications and transfers for other businesses, McGinley's, Trader Jim's, Tiffany's Deli back in the 80s, and I currently serve as president of the Alaska Hospitality Retailers Board. We represent all aspects of the hospitality industry. Alaska Hospitality Retailers has been active in supporting the Anchorage hospitality industry during all the municipal emergency COVID-19 closures and restrictions, and in particular helping to secure and distribute government aid funding. I'm really looking forward to serving on the ABC board, and it's something that I've kind of thought that I'd like to do for many years, and I thank you for your consideration.
Well, and as someone who represents downtown, thanks for your entrepreneurship with Humpy's. Do committee members have questions for Ms. Thompson? Representative McCarty.
I do, and also thank you for your involvement with Blood Bank of Alaska.
Sure.
The question I have is, the industry is has a uniqueness in that we have products that we're trying to encourage and stuff, but we also have people that may be involved in the high-risk use of alcohol. And what are some things that you see the board can do in encouraging people to, I use the term, drink responsibly or drink in a low-risk manner, whatever?
Well, the hospitality industry and, with the distributors and whatnot, we've always done, just a second. Sorry. We have always, educated the public, and being on the ABC board, I mean, it's a control board, and so, by making sure that people are employees are adequately trained through alcohol serving classes and whatnot. I mean, all of us in the industry, our employees have to be trained and they have to be certified by alcohol training program. So, as a member of the alcohol beverage control board, I would continue to be sure that is happening. And like Dana said, when there are people that are operators that are not following the rules and the regulations, then they need to be weeded out.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Dana, Diane, and John, for your testimony. Seeing no additional questions from committee members, I'm going to open public testimony on the ABC board appointees. Seeing no one online, I'm going to close public testimony. Thanks again for coming to the committee and answering those questions. At this time, we are done. I'm just going to take a brief at ease. I'm not missing any, right?
No.
Okay. Anyone wants to come back?
If we want to bring any of these people back.
Got it.
And this person here, but
Gonna complete our hearings for today. The only person who we weren't able to hear from was May Hayes, so we'll reach back out to her and see if she can come before the committee. Thanks again to Leah and Kelsey, our secretary and moderator. Our next Labor and Commerce Committee meeting is Monday, March 29th, 3:15, And at 8:55, House Labor and Commerce is adjourned.